Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. We are here again looking at this teaching series, No So Faith, Not a So-So Faith. So greetings to you, and thank you for being a faithful listener to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio, as we meet again, walking through the scriptures and coming ready, willing, and able to receive the rich nuggets that the Lord God has for you through this teaching series, No So Faith, Not a So-So Faith. So yes, of course, this has been a beautiful delight as we've moved through 2 points in this teaching series so far. The first point was no cross, no crown. And the second point was ready yourself. And so I'm super delighted and super excited to be with you concerning the conclusion, the last point of this teaching series, and it is release the battle. I want to ask you a question. Whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? That is the question. And the answer, I pray, would be, I will believe the report of the Lord. God's report says we fight from victory, not for victory, because the battle is already won, according to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. And this passage is our platform today for the last point in this teaching series, 2 Chronicles 20. And we focus on verse 15, and it reads this way, do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Let your faith in God be your strength in every battle of your life, because he is your joy. Keep that in mind. He is your joy. He is your peace. He is your rest and comforter. God has never, ever lost a battle that has been faithfully placed or released to him. Let it go. Just let it go. Release the battle. Now, as we look at releasing the battle, we're going to focus on 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to read that particular chapter, not completely in its entirety, but this particular passage in the Bible shows us a thing or two. When we are subject to circumstances and battles in our life. So before we start, let's just take today as a blessed day to the Lord in prayer, as a prayer of worship and praise. So if you would, bow your head with me and touch and agree as we pray a prayer of praise to the Lord. Lord God, we exalt you. We thank you. We reverence you today. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are to rejoice and be glad in it, regardless of our circumstance, regardless of our position, regardless of what we are faced up against, regardless of what may be around the corner, we are told to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, thank you for being the great I am, Jehovah God, our comforter, You are our rest. You hide us under the shadow of your wing, according to Psalms 91. We just bless you with the fruit of our lips. We rest in your bosom, and we give you all the honor and glory and praise because you are Jehovah. Lord, move the scriptures across our heart. Breathe upon us today as we look at the passages and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal what you want us to know collectively as well as individually. We pray this sweet prayer as a sweet aroma to your nostrils in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying with me and partnering with me in prayer. Now, as you come as ready, as hungry, as thirsty as you can, be with your Bibles ready and open to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and have your hearts prepared. Prepare your ears to hear, as the scriptures teach us, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And this is our prayer, that you would hear the small, still voice of God through the Holy Spirit as he reveals what he wants you to know according to his word, through his word, as we move through this series, focusing on the last point, point three being release the battle. Now, for those of you who are with me today listening to the broadcast, if you have not heard the first two teaching series or teaching tracks on this particular series, I encourage you to go back and listen to them on the broadcast. All you do is go to the World Wide Web, and you would key in your browser, www.blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart, and that's heart, the number two, heart, and what that means is mission from the heart. And just revisit the first two parts of this teaching track. You will be delighted. And then make note of today's broadcast, and you will see how all of this ties together. So if you would, do yourself a favor and enjoy the first two teaching tracks of this particular series, No So Faith, Not a So-So Faith. So let's get right to the particular passage in 2 Chronicles. So if you would follow along with me. Now, I will be reading this passage in the NIV, the New International Version, the NIV translation. And walk with me in your translation, and let's look at what it says. Now, of course, this is concerning a king by the name of Jehoshaphat, and it talks about in this particular chapter Jehoshaphat who defeats the Moabites and the Ammonites. And so we're going to look at this starting in verse 1, but our focus verse is verse 15. But we will read verses 1 through 22, and then we will stop there, and then we'll pick back up in that particular passage on two other verses. But for the note takers, take note, point 1 being release the battle, and underneath that point 1, put rejoice outwardly. Rejoice outwardly. And then underneath that, write down rest in confidence. So these are our focus areas. Release the battle. Rejoice outwardly underneath that. And then rest in confidence underneath that. So let's look at the scriptures and see how they all apply to us and relate to the point that it would encourage you to release the battle. Starting in 2 Chronicles, verse 1. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, with some of the Midianites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazion," or Hazzon Tamar, that is in Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. Pay close attention on how Jehoshaphat reacts. Now, this is all in the light of faith, and we are looking at how he is going to release this battle to the Lord. So let's continue to read. Alarmed, in verse 3, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. He went to prayer, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. So now he requested prayer of all of Judah and fasting. Now this reminds me of Esther, when she went to Mordecai, and Mordecai asked her to go to the king for the sake of their people. And Esther asked Mordecai to tell the people to do the same thing that Jehoshaphat requested of all of Judah, to fast and pray. So he was alarmed. Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together, that's very important, to seek help from the Lord. So now they're working collectively concerning the report that they heard coming against them, a vast army. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Very important. They came together as a body to go before the Lord in prayer and fasting, seeking God's face. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nation. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you." Jehoshaphat is telling God in adoration who he is. "Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary, your name saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.'" Think about this. Now, as I read this, it reminds me again of a passage that so many say, as we say in the United States, or we have a prayer, a day of prayer. And in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This is what the Lord God is saying to us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is what Jehoshaphat is letting the God Yahweh, Jehovah God, this is what he's doing in front of the temple, or stand in presence before this temple that bears God's name. They are crying out to him in their distress, and they know that they will hear from him and he will save them. This is the kind of faith that we are to have as a body of Christ, regardless of what we hear, regardless of what we're in, regardless of what may be coming around the way. We are to stand, cry out to him in prayer and fasting. Verse 10, but now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us possession you gave us as an inheritance. Now Jehoshaphat is letting God know this is the situation. He's being specific in his prayer. Verse 12, our God will not judge them. Our God, will you not judge them, is the question. Will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. That's the report that came to Jehoshaphat, that this vast army is about to attack him. But he did not scurry around looking for military weaponry to man up or army up to be ready to attack them. No, the first thing Jehoshaphat did was stop, drop, and pray. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Amen. This is what he is doing. Stop, he dropped, and he prayed. And he asked all of Judah to do the same thing, to fast and pray. Seek his face. He does not know what to do, but he's seeking the very one that can. His faith may not be strong right now, but he has enough faith to go before the Lord God and make his petition known unto him. Regardless of what his emotions are, regardless of what the thoughts are in his mind, and regardless of what his ears may be hearing, his mouth is praying. His heart is lined up with God. And he's got partners with him in prayer and fasting. And he's seeking God's face, seeking his face, humbly coming before the throne of grace indicating that he does not know what to do. How many of us have been in a situation like that, to where our hands were tied or we just threw up our hands and we no longer knew what to do physically or in our own strength? That's the problem. The problem is we've done all that we could do, so we have no other choice but to take it to the Lord in prayer, when that should have been our first choice. We always start with God first, taking it to Him in prayer. And even if you have to do a fast, do it. So let's read verse 13. All the men in Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. That was everybody, men, women, and children. Now, isn't it beautiful to get your children involved in your prayer life? Teaching and training them how to pray, especially when we're in a circumstance or a storm or a devastation or a loss. When the little ones learn to pray, how sweet it is to God. They may not know all of the details concerning what's going on, but when the children pray, and we gather together as one body, making our petitions known, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mahataniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. The Spirit of the Lord fell upon him as he stood. Now there's the Holy Spirit praying to God the Father. The Holy Spirit fell down upon him. And it says in verse 15, he said, "Listen. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you." Now, when the Lord speaks to you, you need to listen. Always listen when the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. That is a very important point. So many of us want to do our own thing. We want to go our own way. We want to run around thinking that we've got the perfect solution to our problem when we don't. But when the Holy Spirit says, listen, then you obey Him and take heed and listen to the Holy Spirit. For the battle, verse 16, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. Don't fret. Don't run around like chickens with your head cut off. Don't freak out. Don't bail out. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give Satan a foothold in your mind. Stand firm. Stand firm on the promises of God." As I said in the intro, he has never lost a battle. a battle that we faithfully turn over or release to Him. Not saying it in mouthing words, okay, God, I've let this go, I've turned it over to you. But in your mind, you take it back from Him. You're getting in the way. And the focus verse in this passage is verse 15. Let me reread that again. Because it's very important when He says, listen. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. That's the point today. Release the battle. Let it go. Release it over to God, who can take care of it, who has already taken care of it. This situation in your life, this storm, this circumstance, whatever it may be a test of your faith, a very test of your faith to trust. And sometimes God will allow these situations to come into our lives so that we can learn, underline the word learn, how to stop, drop, and pray, going before the Lord, Him first, and that we can learn to obey what the Holy Spirit, who should be living inside of you because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. So let's look at verse 16. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the path of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jarul. You will not have to fight this battle. Now, that can't be any clearer than water. Verse 17 says it specifically. You will not have to fight this battle. Remember, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. Because the victory is already won. The battle has already been won. Who initiates the fear in our minds? Who sets up terror, or who brings about strategies or tactics that cause us to fret, to be afraid, to be discouraged, to cower back? In my last teaching track called, if you haven't listened to it, you should. And that particular teaching track, I talked about how Satan is our enemy. And I talked about how we are to know his tactics. And it was also indicated that we are to stand strong and steady. And it talks about Satan in particular, how he went from beauty to ashes. And knowing who he is, knowing his tactics, and how we are to stand strong, steady, builds us to the point to where we can just release every situation over to God. And we can have joy, rest, and peace, and be comforted by the Holy Spirit. So in 17, it says, you will not have to fight this battle. This is what God is telling each and every one of us. We don't have to fight it in our minds. We don't have to fight it in our words. We don't have to fight it physically, because the battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. Take up your positions, according to verse 17. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. That's a word to you and me. That is an encouraging word, a comforting word, a word of rejoicing, a word of peace. Take your position. Put on the full armor of God. Ready yourself is what point two was last broadcast. Ready yourself with the full armor of God. We are inseparable from God. Nothing or no one can pluck us out of his hand. This is what God wanted Jehoshaphat to understand. He wanted all of the people of Judah to understand in Judah and Jerusalem. Trust me. Obey me. Do what I tell you to do specifically. And watch. Watch me move. So he says, the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Here he says, do not be discouraged. Again, he said that in verse 15. And now he's saying it again. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Face your fear. Face your circumstance. Stand firm in your faith. Do not have a so-so faith. Have a no-so faith. Allow your faith to be the solid foundation, ready, sure-footed, to stand. Don't allow the circumstance to overpower your mind. This is what the enemy wants to do, is get you thrown off course. But he tells them, go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Not might. We don't have to find the Lord. The Lord knows where we are in our circumstance if you learn to release the battle. That's the practice. That's the discipline. Let it go. Release it over to him, whether it be in your marriage, whether it be a husband who may not be where you believe or have been praying him to, whether it be a child who has not accepted Jesus Christ yet, keep praying, keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking the Lord, seeking his face. Whether it be a job that looks a little uncertain, unsure, seek his face. Go before the Lord in prayer, a no-so faith, trusting and believing that he will bring you through it. He will give you the endurance to persevere. That's the way out. But ready yourself and release it. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground. He reverenced God. And all the people in Judah and Jerusalem did the same thing. They fell down in worship before the Lord. Amen. This is the discipline. This is the practice. When we reverence God, it shuts Satan up. He flees when we bow down and reverence God, praying to him. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. There's the worship. There is the praise. There's the praise. Now, remember, I said make your points being release the battle, and underneath that I indicated for you to write rejoice outwardly. Outwardly. And then underneath that I indicated rest in confidence. And we will look at that in this passage as well. But this is just letting us know in this entire passage what Jehoshaphat did, how he exemplified with what we are to do also. When we are in a state of distress, a moment of despair, a position of devastation, with a very loud voice. That's called praise. That's called praise. And verse 20, early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood. Now they got up early in the morning, early in the morning. Something about getting up early in the morning for a change to take place. They didn't lay around all day waiting and watching the Lord to move, to see if he's going to move. No, he got up. Early in the morning, they left. They left. Not him, they, as a body, as a group. Because that's what God told them to do. That's what was told for them to do. Marched down against them, according to verse 16. But in verse 20, in the morning, early in the morning, they left for the desert. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem, have faith. Amen. Amen. Jehoshaphat said, do not be dismayed. Have faith. Don't cry as if there's no tomorrow. Don't cry as if there's no God. Don't stress out. Don't freak out. He just said, have faith. He could have said, have a no-so faith. Not a so-so faith. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Now, this shows me that the Jehoshaphat that we were reading about in the early verses of this passage, it seems as though his faith is getting stronger and stronger and stronger, because we read that he bowed down with his face to the ground. And then in verse 20, it says, early in the morning, he got up. Something happened to Jehoshaphat. I want to take it as his faith got stronger as he got up that early morning. His confidence grew stronger and stronger in what God said in his promise. It wasn't something you had to worry about whether or not he was going to bring this situation to pass. No, he said it was going to happen. But you've got to believe by faith. Faith, now faith, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So if you want some great faith, you've got to get into the word of God and read it daily. Early in the morning is a good starting point. But if you can't do early in the morning, just get started. So that these battles that come through your life won't overwhelm you. They won't become a tsunami to you. They won't take you on a whirlwind to where you would spiral down and wring your hands as if there's no hope. No, this is what believers are not to do. We are to release the battle, stand firm, seek his face, and trust the Lord that the Holy Spirit would bring peace and comfort and joy to you in the midst of your storm. And of course, as we look at rejoice outwardly, you will see how they, with a very loud voice, they praised the Lord. Now that's praise, audibly. Praise is visible. Visible, verbal expression of your worship. It's visible, verbal expression of your worship. That means it's audible. It comes out of the mouth. A declaration of God. Praise. It's audible. And they stood up and praised the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice, not very quiet. It was loud in their expression of their worship. They sang. They exalted the Lord. They lifted up adoration to the Lord God. They praised him audibly, out loud. I like that. In verse 20, they got up and he encouraged the people, have faith in the Lord God and you will be upheld. Have faith again in his prophets and you will be successful. Verse 21, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. And listen to what they were saying. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. I can just imagine the melody that went with that. I like the song that I used to sing in the choir some time ago, and it comes back to me from time to time, and I sing it with delight. Oh, give thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. I sing it with rejoicing, with expectations of his love showering down upon me when I'm in the midst of a situation that I don't have the answers to. That is the point of rejoice outwardly. Worship, on the other hand, is adoration of God for who he is. Adoration of God for who he is, what he's done, and what you are expecting or trusting him to do. By faith now, it is the recognition of who God is. In short, it is the recognition of who God is, worship, adoration, who he is. Now remember, praise, a visible, verbal expression of your worship. And worship is adoration of God for who he is, what he's done, and what you are trusting him to do. Amen. Trusting God requires faith. And what did Jehoshaphat and the body do together? He appointed men to sing. He appointed some praise singers, a praise team. come out and just exalt the Lord with loud voices and praised him, worshiped him, exalted him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And verse 22, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes. Now here the Lord God is moving. Because they chose to obey what he told them to do. The Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Defeated. They were defeated. Verse 23, the Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy. Destroyed them. This just destroyed them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Now we're going to move from 23 and we're going to go down to 27. But before I go to 27, before we read the remaining passages of this particular chapter, you can read verses 24 through 26 at your private study time. But let's move over to Joshua 23. And we'll come back to 27 in 2 Chronicles 20. So put a marker in your Bible there. And let's go to Joshua 23, verse 10. Joshua 23, verse 10. And it reads this. Now, I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation, verse 10. Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy, for the Lord your God fights for you, just as he has promised. Now, that's the New Living Translation. But listen to what it says in the New King James. Verse 10. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. That's Joshua 23, verse 10. Now let's go to Matthew 26, 52. Matthew 26, verse 52. And it reads this way. In the NIV, New International, it says, put your sword back in its place. Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. So we don't fight flesh and blood. We don't fight like the world fights. The battle has already been won. We don't fight, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, according to Ephesians 6:12. We stand on the promises of God. We don't fight
with guns and knives and instruments that man has created, we stand on the very word of God because we know that he will fight our battle according to what the word says. Now, look what it says concerning our rejoicing. So let's go back to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and look in chapter 20, and we're going to start at verse 27. So if you would follow with me, and we're going to flip back over to 2 Chronicles, verse 27. Now we're looking at the second point concerning release the battle. We saw how Jehoshaphat took it to the Lord in prayer, fasting and praying, and he carried out the very command that he received, and he did exactly with what they were told to do. And as we read, they were slaughtered. God took care of the battle. They were defeated. So now verse 27, concerning rejoice outwardly. Well, we saw rejoicing outwardly in verses, we saw that in verse 21. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for splendor of his holiness. So that's what we read concerning rejoicing outwardly. We remember that who sang around the Jericho wall? Joshua, when he was up against a battle in the book of Joshua. We read or remember the story where God told him to go around the wall and sing, exalt me, lift me up, even in the midst of this battle. Just sing praises unto me and watch that wall fall. That Jericho wall fell down. When we obey the command of God, when we exalt him in the midst of our storm and lift up his name, he will remove the obstacle. He will knock down the giant. He will give you the strength, his strength, to persevere, to endure, and bring you out of the storm. He will take care of what may be in lack, whether it be in your finances, whether it be in your mind. He will restore you back to him. But you've got to remain faithful. You've got to have a no-so faith and not a so-so faith. So let's look at Psalms 23. We know the 23rd Psalm, verses 4 and 6. We're very, very, very familiar with the 23rd Psalm. But listen to what these particular verses say. They're very encouraging, but this is what the 23rd Psalm, verses 4 and 6, read, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." This is what God did for Jehoshaphat. He prepared a table before them in the presence of enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. This is a promise. It's encouraging to us to know that even though we're walking through the valley of the shadows, and they're only shadows, of death. We don't have to fear any evil. Remember, nothing can take you away from God. No one can take you away from God. Release it over Him. So let's look at this particular passage. So write these down, and we're going to move through these pretty quickly. So let's look at Matthew chapter 5. And I know we're doing quite a bit of movement, but it's for the enrichment of your soul. What makes up the soul? Your mind to think, your will to choose, and your emotions, your feelings. This is what makes up the human soul. So these verses and these passages are to build us up so that we can grow and go in grace and stand firm, sure-footed, and unmovable, unshakable because of the faith that we have in a King that sits up high and looks down low. He conquers every battle in our lives. So let's look at Matthew 5, verse 11 and 12. Matthew 5, and we're going to look at verse 11 and 12. And it reads this way. We know this as the Beatitudes, if you will, as we see, and it's verse 11 and 12. Listen to what it says. Blessed are you when people insult you. So when people talk about you, when situations take place, you're blessed. You're blessed. When people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, because of Jesus, because you have Jesus living inside of you. The Holy Spirit sits on the throne of your heart. They don't understand the kind of life that believers are to be living, the kind of mindset that we are to take on. They don't understand, meaning the world doesn't understand. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets, who were before you. In the same way, we will be persecuted. We will be talked about. But guess what? Our reward in heaven is so much more greater. But God will give you the strength to persevere. He will give you the strength to endure. And He certainly promised that you will be brought out. But you've got to release the battle. 1 Peter 4, 1 Peter 4, 13 and 14, 1 Peter 4, 13 and 14, and it reads, but rejoice, here we are again, rejoicing, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Now we're participants in the suffering of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. But rejoice so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. Verse 14, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. Here it is again. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. This is to build you up in spirit. Build you up in spirit. Let's go to Philippians 4:4. And I pray that you write these verses down for the benefit of growing. Philippians 4:4. So that you can get these passages in your heart so that when you come into a situation that may leave you a little uncertain. You will know how to rest in the Lord. You will know how to allow the Word of God to build your faith. You will know how to trust in the Lord, to be encouraged in the promises of God.
Philippians 4:4. And it reads this way. Philippians 4:4. And it says, rejoice. Here it is again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. This is what God wants us to understand. Just rejoice. Release the battle. Rejoice. So now this brings me to the last point in this particular lesson. Release the battle. Rest in confidence. Now we can go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're going to start with 27. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem. Joyfully. That's the joy, the rejoicing after they did with what they were commanded to do. For the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. We just read that in the other passages, in Psalms, in Matthew, in 1 Peter, Philippians 4. We just read this. For the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. Now they're praising him with the instruments, with the loud voice. They're singing and rejoicing. We've won, we've won. And how did we win? Because of God Almighty. 29. The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel, and the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. There's that rest in confidence. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat, the whole kingdom, not just Jehoshaphat, not just the ones he appointed to sing and praise the Lord. No, the whole kingdom was at peace. Amen. For his God had given him rest on every side, not temporarily, but on every side he was at peace. List. They didn't have to fear. They didn't have to worry whether they were going to come back. No, God took care of it. This is the rest in confidence. Let's look at Romans 1 to solidify this. Romans 1, 16 and 18. Romans 1, 16 and 18. This is the awesome God that we serve. He is awesome. He is mighty. And I love that praise song that we sang before, and you may know that song that sings, our God is an awesome God. He reigns. That song just resonates in my mind to know that he's awesome. We are in awe of him because he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or even imagine. This is the mighty God that we serve. So why not release your battles of the mind, your battles of the heart, your battles of physical
someone who may be hurting you physically, whether they're talking about you, hurting your feelings, whatever the case may be, this God that we serve, Yahweh God, mighty God, holy God, awesome God, is a God that conquers every battle, every storm. He said, peace, be still. He made the waters rage and they be still. What manner of a God is this? This is a God who rose Jesus from the grave. This is a God who allowed his son to die on the cross for our sins. This mighty God brings peace and rest to the soul. But it takes your faith to believe that he can. Remember the woman with the issue of blood if you don't know. Search your Bible. Get familiar with your Bible so that you will know these rich stories in Scripture that will teach you how she was healed because of her faith. She was made whole. Romans 1, 16. And it reads, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the law, or first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Not might or should, will live by faith. This is the kind of faith that we are to demonstrate. We are to seek. We are to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you that you do have faith. Don't let the enemy tell you you are faithless. The Holy Spirit lets you know that you are full of faith. But the Word of God solidifies that when you seek his face. And lastly, we'll look at Psalms 27. Psalms 27. And it reads, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. That's what happened with Jehoshaphat. God did that for them. He does it for us today. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. There's that word, rest in confidence. Rest in confidence. And let's go to the same verse, same psalm, but let's jump down to verse 6. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. As his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. There is the praise. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. There it is again. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Lead me in the straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me away or over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Amen. This is a no-so faith, not a so-so faith. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters of Christ, be faithful and wait on the Lord. Obey what the Holy Spirit, who lives and sits on the throne of your heart, obey what he says to do. The word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Seek the word daily that you will be rejuvenated, restored, and empowered, that you will have a revival take place in your soul. Release the battle, as we saw Jehoshaphat do that along with the people. And, of course, we heard that the battle is not yours, brothers and sisters. It's the Lord God. He fights every one of your battles. So put your husband in his hands. Put your wife in his hands. Put your children in his hands. Put your job, your lack of finances. Put your car that may be busted or broke down. Put it in his hands through prayer, fasting, and seeking the word of God. I hope this has been a delight to you, but it surely has been for me. And I pray that the word of God continues to saturate your heart as you grow and go in grace. And always remember that the grass withers as we see from season to season. The grass withers and the flowers, we know they fade away. But the word of God, it remains forever and ever. Never forget that. Have a no-so faith, my brothers and sisters, not a so-so faith. This brings us to the end of this particular broadcast. I thank you for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart Radio, and I pray and hope that this particular teaching series has been a joy to you. Share it with others that they may grow and reap the benefit of being a good listener to the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. God bless you.